You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not going to take it anymore.
I'd like to help you gently if I really would, but the din in my head, it's too much and it's no good. I'm standing in a window tunnel, shouting through the roar, and I'd like to give the information, asking for more. But blood makes noise. It's ringing in my ear, blood makes noise. And I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Welcome to hour number two, and you really are. You are really here. I'm really here, and you're really listening to the second hour of the Common Sense Show. Hi, everybody. I'm your host, Dave Hodges, and we're the show again that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. And I have to tell you that first hour did have an impact on me, and thank you so much to Greg Jackson, and I hope that you'll share that. We're going to put that up on YouTube, but they will demonetize it, which is okay. The value of it being up there is enough, and I'm glad they don't pull it off altogether. But anything I put in there with Christianity and the Constitution, YouTube demonetizes instantly. But that doesn't mean you have to devalue it. I hope that you'll share that interview with your friends and family and people on your social media list for as long as we have it. And by the way, did you happen to see Al Franken? I call him Al Frankenstein. Yeah, he's calling for stricter control over the internet. People are having too much free say. Well, anyway, this hour is brought to you by Numana Foods. And as I keep saying, if you don't have storable food, you may live to regret the day. And I hope that doesn't happen to anybody, but I can't afford to feed you, and you'll find most other people can't either. Take matters into your own hands. I recommend 6 months to 2 years, but you can only do what you can do. But do something. Maybe a crisis lasts 3 days, and you'll get through it. Maybe it'll be 2 months, and that'll be enough. But do something. Go to numana.com/Hodges and use the coupon code Hodges9 to take 5% off. And also, we are brought to you by ReadyMadeResources.com. My good friend Bob Griswold, who's no stranger to our listening audience, I call him King Prepper. And he's got everything that you want. I mean, you want night vision, he's got it. And also, it's now financeable. You all have, well, communications, you have water filtration. I mean, everything you would want in prepping, Bob has. And here's a really cool thing. I got an email it was actually a week before last, from a lady who said, I left Bob a message. I didn't think he'd call back. He called me back. And we talked on the phone for quite a while as he walked me through what I might need based on the questions I was asking. That's Bob Griswold. You call somebody else that sells prepping stuff, most of them are going to charge you. Not all of them, but most of them. Not Bob. He is here to help people get prepped. Best prices, best customer service, low-pressure sales. ReadyMadeResources.com. Tell them that Dave Hodges sent you. Well, I mentioned earlier, I did an interview with a very brave lady named Vonda Smith. And Vonda's husband, she contacted me through Facebook Messenger, which I'm rarely on. It was really odd that I even got the message, because you send me a Facebook message and I probably never see it. But I saw this one. And I knew he was for real based on what he said. He goes, I'm from the community, and went on to talk about all the lies that are being told. Can I talk to you? So I left him my number. And it was his wife, Vonda, that called me back. And wow, did I ever get an earful. And I'm going to tell you, I have a special surprise on this topic in the third hour. And I'm just going to leave that at the mystery level. I've learned my lesson not to promote the more controversial things, lest we be taken down. But anyway, here's my interview with Vonda Smith, and I can warn you, it's gut-wrenching. It's hard to listen to. Here it is. Hi, everybody. This is Dave Hodges of the Common Sense Show, and we are the show that's freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. And we have breaking news coming out of Texas, and the site of the horrific shooting at Sutherland Springs, Texas, and it just, my heart still continues to go out to these people. I've been very touched emotionally by this tragedy, as has the rest of the nation. And we have on the line with us Vonda Smith. And Vonda had to do some real soul searching whether or not to come out and tell what she knows, because there comes risks with telling what you know. You know, some people have been hurt in the past, some people get ostracized. So it's a difficult situation. And so, Vonda, I want to tell you up front and publicly how much I respect your courage and your desire to set the record straight. And I want to welcome you to the show.
Thank you. Thank you, Dave. It's scary.
It is frightening, because there, for the grace of God, go I. I mean, any of us could have been in this horrible situation. But what we're getting from the, let me tell you what my wife came home and said today. She said, they say they have a real clear video. The church broadcasts its services by video and live stream.
Yes.
And they have everything there, and there's nothing left, and there's only one shooter, and there's nothing funny that happened there. There's no cover-up, no nothing. And you disagree with that, don't you?
I disagree. There's just too many red flags going off, too many questions that are unanswered.
Well, let's start with what you were able to find out. And one of the things you shared with me in our earlier conversation today was that you have spoken to an eyewitness who tells an entirely different account than the one we're getting in the media.
That's right.
Can you tell us about that?
And you're okay with me mentioning names and all of that?
I'm going to say this is your interview, so I'm going to say do what you want to do, and you can withhold what you want to withhold. I'll completely understand. My only interest here, and the interest of our show, is that we tell the truth as best we can.
Well, this is the truth as far as I know it, and as far as what has been told to me. And I don't think that it would be full disclosure if I didn't mention who told me. And I know Joanne Ward. She was the one that actually was in the shooting, and she shielded her children. I'm having to change rooms. Excuse me.
That's okay.
Yeah. She actually was the one. She was my friend, very close to me, here in Sutherland Springs. And I'm upset. I don't know where I'm at right now.
That's okay.
What do you want me to answer? Where do you want me to start?
Okay,
so emotional still.
Yeah.
And I just found out some more information that's unsettling. We just need some answers, you know, Dave. The information started when I got to the hospital. We got the information that the shooting was happening, and my husband and I were headed to the Civic Center to help them, or wherever they were setting up to help. And then we found out that my friend, Joanne Ward, had been shot, and that her children were in the church as well. Well, of course, we had no idea about the enormity of the situation. So all we do is just make a beeline for the hospital. And as soon as I get there, her daughter, that's 9 years old, Rihanna, is sitting in the emergency room. And she told me the first thing that came out of her mouth, she just started crying. And she said, I didn't get shot because Mama threw me to the ground and I was hiding. And so I guess when it all broke out and started, she was down. And so he never saw her or shot at her. I don't know what happened or who he decided to shoot or not shoot, but she was one that came out of it alive. And she's here telling the story to me in broken pieces like a 9-year-old would. But she told me that her mama scooped up her other three brothers and sisters. She had one brother, Ryland, who's 5, one sister, Brooke, who's 5, and one more sister, Emily, who was 7. And she immediately scooped them up and covered them with her body. And when the shooting was over, she said that she tried to talk to her mama, but she wouldn't talk back. She tried to talk to little Brookie, and she wouldn't talk back either. And Emily was apparently screaming, why is this happening? Why is this happening? And she had been shot. She had an artery severed, and they were not able to save her in surgery. So she passed away. Ryland, she was at the hospital when I was there. So Emily died while we were there at the hospital, and the family viewed her body and gave her kisses goodbye. And then Ryland was in surgery all day long in an induced coma, and he suffered extensive injuries on both of his legs, his bowel, his hip, and his arm. And apparently he is doing better today. They took him out of the induced coma, and he's just making a very, very, very slow recovery. He's going to have a very slow road back. So that's the start of what I heard. And then it just gets discombobulated from there on out.
One of the things I'd like to bring out at this point was the 9-year-old. She got a look at the shooter. Can you tell us how she described him and what he did to himself?
She said that he was wearing all black and that he had a black and white face mask on. And she said she saw him put the gun to his head. She told me that he shot himself. And she told her aunt, apparently, that that all she saw was him put his gun to his head. So the shooting himself is not coming out consistently, but the gun to his head was. So that's where the story gets a little... I just found that out from the time I talked to you earlier today. I've been texting her, getting all of the information as clear as I could get it.
Yeah, it's... very telling, and it's a story we're not getting from the media. The other thing that you had mentioned to me that I found very curious, and the disposition of the bodies.
Yeah, that's my big red flag. That's the biggest one. All day long, it was so disheartening because we were all thinking that we were going to hear something about Joanne and Brooke, because we were told by Chris, her husband, that she was life-flighted to a hospital. Well, he went to SAMC, where they said she went, the military hospital, and she wasn't there, so they sent him to University Hospital, where we all ended up. And at one point they said she was there, then she wasn't. And she was there, and she wasn't. So all day long, for hours and hours, until we left at 10 o'clock at night, you know, they're saying that she's here, she's not, she's here, she's not. So we never knew. We never found out where Joanne and Brookie were, which made it really, really disheartening, because we don't know if she's being taken care of. We don't know if she's passed away. But there were witnesses who saw her be life-flighted, as well as her own daughter. Rihanna said that she saw her mama get on a helicopter. Well, if she was on a helicopter, then how, in the very end of the evening, when they all got back, they got word that she had passed away and that she was waiting to be identified. Well, when it came time to be identified, they wouldn't let the family see her. They said it had to be her husband. So that got all weird, because you would think that it would be, you know, immediate family, brother, sister, mother, father, anyone that's in an immediate family, but everyone was turned away. And then it came to the point where they were only able to identify her with a tattoo. Well, all day long, they were organizing some kind of group that was going to identify bodies, and they asked for people to send pictures and tattoos or anything identifiable. And, of course, we all did. And that was the only way that they let them identify Joanne, was by a tattoo. They wouldn't let them see her face or her body. And that's just so disheartening because, you know, they're walking away thinking that that's their loved one, but yet they can't see and know for sure. They just see a tattoo.
That it defies description why they wouldn't let her let the loved ones look at the face or the body. They just focused on the tattoo. So then the big question is, what are they concealing?
Yeah, precisely. The other thing is, I found out tonight, before we went on, that Joanne is going to have an open casket. So there was nothing wrong with her face. They said there she's going to have to be covered from the neck down because her body completely shielded her children, and the bullets went in her back and into the children. So whatever she took for them hit her first, and ultimately whatever damage the children sustained, we know Ryland is still alive. Of the three, he's the only one that she covered that made it. So
yeah, I know this is hard.
Brooke, we have no idea. Yeah, we have no idea what extensive damage Brooke is, but this is another thing. Is it normal for the FBI to be telling them whether it's going to be a casket, an open casket, or a closed casket? Because they're the ones that are telling them this.
No, that's between the mortuary. Exactly.
Yeah.
And the family. That's not the FBI's business.
No, not now. Oh, yes, it is. They're making it their business because they told them that, you know, we don't know if the little girl will have to lay on her side or if she will have to have a closed casket. And Joanne, they're saying Joanne can have an open casket and she can be covered from the waist down. So that's coming from the FBI.
Well, I've got something.
According to the family member of Joanne that I'm speaking to.
Vonda, I have to tell you, since we spoke on the phone, I went to some of my sources, military sources, who understand gunfire and so forth. And what they think is what you and I discussed earlier. The only reason they would want to conceal gunshot wounds is because they wouldn't match one single gun. And they need this narrative to be preserved. Again, the old tired out lone nut assassin, one person. And if you have two different guns and two different kinds of wounds from guns, then that destroys the official narrative. And I'll tell you, to a person, what I told you earlier, what I'm told by my people is what I told you. We think we're looking at hollow points on the bodies that are being covered because of the explosive nature of the bullet, and they can't conceal that. And
that would make sense.
And then an AR-15, for example, firing straight shots through and through, you don't get a match ballistically. And I'm not explaining it as cleanly as an expert will, but this is what the experts tell me.
Sure. That's understandable. Completely. The other thing that is noteworthy to mention is that Chris Ward, the father of these four children that were there, three that were tucked under Joanne's wing, essentially, and the one that was thrown to the ground and survived to tell the story, he went into the church immediately after the shooting. He was at home sleeping because he was working nights. His brother went and woke him up because he tried calling him and he wasn't answering. Must have had his phone off. But when he woke him up, he told him that he had to get to the hospital. And of course, you know, he's just mad at his brother for waking him up and pulling a prank on him. And he's trying to tell him, no, no, this is really happening. Get down there now. So he gets down to the hospital, to the church as fast as he can. And when he gets there, he says that he went halfway into the church and never found Joanne, Brooke, or Emily. But he found Ryland, and they were sitting near the back row. So he should have seen them near Ryland, because the whole process, according to Rihanna, was they were sitting on the same pew where she covered them, where her body took the bullets. So when he went in, all he found was Ryland, and he sat with Ryland until he was airlifted out. But the others, no telling where they were. Now, why were they moved? If they were dead, why were they moved? If they were, you know, injured, was there, I don't know if there was emergency crews there at that time. I'm sure there were, because he was waiting for Ryland to get taken out. But if they were airlifted out, because that's what the witnesses are saying, we've got local witnesses, and I haven't been able to touch base with them, but they're saying that she was removed. She was air-flighted out, airlifted out. And I also heard that Brooke was airlifted out. So that would make sense. You know, okay, well, if they're airlifted out and they're alive, why aren't they at a hospital? They were at no hospital. But at the end of the day, we're told they're in a body bag somewhere.
As opposed
but
to...
Nobody can identify them.
To where the coroner would be. I mean, this defies logic. This is not the way that this goes down.
Logic.
Yeah,
Well, why? Why? You tell me, Dave, why did he go in soon after the shooting and these bodies are moved?
Hold on, Vonda, just to say, do you have an estimate, a general estimate of how long it was?
He has no idea how long, but let's think about how critical Ryland was and how fast he had to make it to the hospital. We may not have a time stamp on this, but Ryland was shot up 4 to 5 times. I haven't been able to confirm the exact amount, but look at how the damage that was done to his colon and his hip and his legs and his arms. He needed to be life-flighted out fast, and he's actually still alive, surviving these injuries. So how long could it have been? It couldn't have been maximum an hour. Maximum. But you don't go moving dead bodies before an hour's time. Why were they gone? Where did they go? And I had a DPS agent when I interviewed last night on Fox News with Laura Ingram. I had a DPS agent tell me after the interview, I started talking to them about it. And he said, well, you know, I have seen people get life-flighted out and they die in the helicopter, and they just come right back and they drop them back off so that they can pick up someone else that's more critical, since they're still pretty close to the vicinity. Well, I bought that. You know, I'm like, okay, maybe that did happen. We could speculate. I could see that happening, but it had happened with 2 people? It happened with Brooke and Joanne? Because they were missing all damn day.
This is irregular.
And now, to put the icing on the cake, we are going into Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. They are still not identified. Tonight, as of tonight, on Wednesday night, they are still not identified.
Why not?
The FBI will not let them in. I just confirmed it. They're telling everybody to come in the morning. And it makes me wonder why, because there was so much bullet, you know, that had to go into her that they may have needed to match up to the children's. You see what I mean?
Mm. Because maybe they weren't shot by the same person. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. Yeah. By different bullets.
Well, something's not right. First of all, I am at a loss to understand why the FBI is in control of the crime scene, because of the fact that this is local law enforcement. This is a local issue. This doesn't cross state lines. Let's put it this way. I have been able to connect the ex-Marine. I've been able to connect him to ISIS. I've been able to connect him to a number of things, including a long stay at a mental institution where we think he became a psyops assassin. But we've been able to connect a lot of these dots with him. But what's interesting to me is they're coming out and saying, not terrorism, Okay, well, he was affiliated with Antifa. We know that, too. But not terrorism. So then why is the FBI there? What's their interest if it's not terrorism? It should be the Texas Rangers, DPS, local law enforcement.
Wow. I hadn't thought of that.
Well, this is what we saw in Vegas. In the Vegas scenario, we see the same thing where the FBI came in and completely grabbed control of every press conference, and they were telling the Las Vegas police what they could and could not say. And we're going to see the same thing here, too. And you're going to see witnesses at the scene who survived. They're going to be intimidated. They're going to be told, you can say this, but you can't say that. Mark my words, that's coming.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, that brings me to another point that I was telling you about. When a friend of mine got on the scene, he was there, like, he told me he was there at 11:30 to 11:45. And that is, like, right after the shooting. He said that when he got there, there weren't even emergency crews on the scene. They were pulling in when he was getting there. And he said that he saw two young girls that were thin, very thin young girls that had bandages wrapped around their legs. But he said he thought it was a red flag because he thought it was the weirdest thing. Because they were just standing there all nonchalantly with bandages on their legs. And he's like, where did those bandages even come from?
Because there was no medical personnel there. And no. Did the locals know these girls? Anyone know who they are?
No one has ever talked about it except him. So I haven't been able to ask questions about them.
Well, we've got to say this here right now. The size of the community is such that,
right.
Is it safe to say that everyone knows everyone in your community?
Absolutely. We are talking, this little community has a main street and a few other streets and a little post office. I mean, let's put it this way. This town is so small, their biggest store is a convenience store, gas station, and a Dollar General, and that makes them a big city town. We just recently got a Dollar General. That's it. And they have a post office. There's a tire store. You know, there's not much. There's a church right on the main street corner, the one that it happened at. That's it. This town is so small. You know everyone.
Okay. So you've got these two girls, and locals don't know who they are. This guy doesn't know who they are. I have run that story by people who are more in tune to terrorist incidences and so forth. And what I'm told is that more than likely they were dressed up in bandages so as not to draw attention. When first responders came, they fit there. They've been treated. But really what they are were spotters for what's going on. Spotters like, is this a go or no go? Are two people pulling up with guns on rifle racks in the trucks and so we need to abandon the mission? I mean, these are the kinds of scenarios that I've been told by the experts I've consulted with about what they think these two girls were.
Man, that's just hard to believe. It really is. I mean, it would make sense, but you know, your brain just wants to go somewhere else and think the best, like, oh, maybe we just missed something, you know.
Well, here's something I've been wanting to ask you, and we just keep going on these different avenues because there's so much to tell. But what I wonder about is, you talked about Chris going to the scene. He's able to mm-hmm. enter the crime scene. You just talked about another man who was there right after. He's in the mm-hmm. crime scene. I mean, this mm-hmm. is not...
Yeah.
Where's the yellow tape?
Yeah.
Where are the police keeping people out?
Tape.
Yeah, but...
That's why I said it's so early on in the whole thing, that there's no yellow tape yet. There's no one keeping him out of the church. He's busting in that early on in all of it, able to go in and see his wife's not there. Why not? She was sitting in the back. And he walked halfway into the church.
Well, I want to point out something very important. No yellow tape, but someone got there in time to take the bodies out.
Right.
They had a chance to put the yellow tape up. They could have cared less about crime scene integrity and to maintain the criminal evidence to find out what really happened. The only thing they wanted, these were the body snatchers. This is the invasion of the body snatchers. Mm-hmm. They wanted to get those bodies out of there to cover up whatever they didn't want people to see. I mean, that's what it sounds like to me.
That's messy. Man.
Well, let me ask you this. The feeling in your community, besides the obvious horrendous shock and grief and disbelief that will accompany this kind of an event, are people talking privately like, hey, the real story is not being told? Are there people like you who are speaking out?
You know what, Dave? I really don't know. Because the friends of mine that I posed all of these questions to, they did not even think about it. And you know, they've been into, you know, occasional little conspiracy theorists, you know, ideas, you know, things like that, little things. But they just didn't have the questions that I was thinking. I asked them about their friends that they had gone to see, and I told them about my friend, who they also knew, Joanne and Brooke. I said, they have not been allowed to view their body. What about your friends that you went to see, the Rodriguez's? And they said, well, as a matter of fact, when they were able to identify their loved one, they also identified them with a picture as well. So there you go. I mean, they didn't even think about it until I mentioned it. I said, don't you feel like that's fishy? Don't you feel like there's something wrong with that? I can understand if a head is blown off or something like that. Sure, maybe, but they weren't allowed to see anything of their loved one. No flesh. They were, you know, matched by a picture. That's a problem for me. It's starting to be consistent, but I'm not talking to anybody, Dave. I've literally been afraid to talk because, for one, you know, I've been supporting the family and I wanted to be there for them, so I didn't want to hurt them by, you know, making this something that, I mean, they're already going through enough.
Yes.
But for me to make it something that their mind is not prepared for, I mean, I just can't do that to them. They let them accept it the way they know it right now. And when they get over everything, maybe then they can wrap their brains around it. I don't know.
I understand.
They may never know.
Yeah, and people that are wounded psychologically by this tragedy, they're not going to be responding to what we're talking about anytime soon. In fact, I actually think some of them might view this as an annoyance. But my motive for doing this, and I want to put this out here, and I know your motive is to get the truth out. I want to get the truth out as best I can, so we can start calling whoever is behind these tragedies on what they do, so their excuses are no longer believed, and maybe we can stop it through exposure.
That's right. And if there's an explanation, just give it to me. That's fine. But if it's not, then it truly does need to be exposed. It's gone on long enough, event after event after event.
Everything,
I'm sick of it.
Everything you're saying here, Vonda, speaks to one phrase: cover up.
Yes.
That encapsulates.
That's the way it feels.
It just summarizes everything you've said. Is this is a massive cover up, and when you're keeping bereaved family members from viewing their loved ones, and you're giving them pictures to identify, this is inexcusable. That means they don't want you to see the wounds, because the description of the wounds wouldn't fit the kind of rifle that they're trying to frame for the crime. And I don't mean to be callous to the loss of life in saying this, but these people are being denied their final goodbyes. That's horrendous.
Yep.
But also, they're not being told the truth, and the country's not being told the truth.
That's right. That's right.
And the FBI has no business. Here's what I wonder, too, and I don't mean to be morbid here, but I tell you, they would have to shoot me or drag me out in handcuffs before I wouldn't just barge my way in. But let's go forward to a ceremony. If I want to see my child, my wife, my loved one, my friend, I don't care what the FBI says. I'm going to go up there and I'm going to look when it's in the casket at that person, and I'm going to do what I need to do to see what I want to see. Is the FBI going to be there and actually supervise the ceremonies? Are they going to play big brother to the burial of people's loved ones?
Man, I have no idea. Oh my gosh.
I mean, this. Do you realize that how?
That's just
how,
wrong.
I know. I mean, the casket's going to be partially closed. Who the hell are they?
Yeah. And here's the thing: if there was nothing wrong with Joanne, why would, if she can be buried from the neck down, covered up, then why the hell couldn't her family view her face from the neck up? Why? Why were they keeping that from them? She should have been able to be identified. If there's nothing wrong with her face, I mean, you know, like, sorry to be morbid, like you said, but if her face was not blown off or shot or whatever the case may be, then why couldn't they view her?
There is no answer.
It doesn't make any sense.
There is no answer, but I will tell you this, it won't be long until a couple of million people are exposed to this. And I'll share this out here publicly, too. For those people who don't want Vonda to tell the truth and don't want me to report on the truth, please realize I've had conversations with other media people today who are in contact with people from the same area, and they're telling similar stories. There's no way the FBI can keep a lid on this. The victims deserve justice, and their families deserve justice. And I wanted to ask you a question, too. And my heart goes out to Mr. Chris Ward, and my deepest apologies. I reacted. I actually reported this like, gee, this is really odd. In the first article I wrote, I said, here it is. It's an ex-Marine. Here's what we know about his affiliations. I had some tweets in there. I had a picture of him having the Batman clown face that we saw 5 years ago in the Batman shooting in Aurora, Colorado. I had all that in there. I said, but here's something really odd. Does this mean there's a second shooter? And there was a TV account, and I talked to you about this earlier, but I want to say this for the audience's benefit, where the shooter was named as Chris Ward, and they were interviewing people in the community as background voices while they were showing shots of the community visually, and said, Chris Ward was your shooter. And I said, this is odd. I thought it was the guy who was in the Marine Corps. And how did Chris...
I'd like to know who started that.
Yeah, how did the man who's perhaps one of the most tragic figures in all this, who suffered such unimaginable horror, how does his name get dragged into this so unfairly and inaccurately?
Well, that's what we'd like to know. Because we were at the hospital when that started trending on social media. And we were beside ourselves. I mean, he could care less. He was bawling his eyes out in the hospital. So I was watching him as they were saying he was the shooter. And I'm just laughing, going, where the hell did they get that? You really think that this man that's torn up over his family is going to be crying out? He wouldn't even be there in the first place.
One of the things that I posed to some people who know more about this than I do, these kind of events, I said, how could this end up on TV? And the answer I heard a couple of times, and I shared this with you off air, is that, well, if you want to create a false narrative by confusion, name a false perpetrator, lead people down the wrong path, and confuse the issue from the get-go. And so I believe that information was given to that reporter and that news station falsely on purpose so as to lead people down the wrong path. But here's a man, my heart aches for Mr. Ward, just horrible, horrible loss. I can't even imagine what this poor soul is going through.
I don't even know how he's breathing now.
And he's named as the shooter, and I didn't really believe it. If you go back and look at the account that I put in my article, I put it in there kind of, oh, by the way, this is really weird. How would they even know this at this point? By the way, I believe it was in the report that they said that he had killed his own family.
Yes.
That's how far off they were.
Wild.
Well, I hope the nation will join me in praying for Mr. Ward. because this man has suffered way more than any human being should.
He really has. I can't imagine losing so much of his family in one day, just like the others. You know, so many others have lost multiple family members in one day. It's just, it's hard to fathom.
I'm almost speechless at the gravity of this. I mean, this is a community that'll never be the same.
No, no. But I'll tell you what, Dave, you know, there's people that say that, you know, they shouldn't have been in church because, you know, all the atheists and everything, they're speaking out. But I'll say one thing. Don't think that this has ruined their faith. This has done nothing but ground them even more. And these people are definitely already coming out of this thing even stronger. So don't think that, you know, the enemy was going to win in this situation, because no, what the enemy meant for evil, God is definitely turning out for good right now, because people's faith are just growing stronger as the minutes go by. Every minute that goes by, their faith just continues to grow. So that is, I mean, in the face of evil, that's the one small good thing that is starting to come out of it.
I have to confess, I remember seeing newscasts of Walter Cronkite when he reported that John Kennedy was killed, and he loved John Kennedy, interviewed him a bunch of times, they got to be friends, and he couldn't hold back the tears. And I have to tell you, I don't think I'd be a good hardened reporter, because I don't enjoy doing this report. It's because your husband reached out to me, and the information you gave me was so compelling. I said, the public has a right to know. The loved ones have a right to know. And that's why I'm doing this. But I have to tell you, Vonda, this is something I absolutely am uncomfortable doing, and I can only imagine what it's like for you living in the community and knowing these people.
Oh, it's heart-wrenching. It's just heart-wrenching to see pain everywhere you turn. You know someone who's hurting because of their loss. It's just so great. You can't imagine the enormity.
Well, the one thing that I want to make sure that you are aware of is that I want you to feel free to reach out to me if there's new information or anything that you think I should know. And to the community as a whole, I want you to know that the people associated with the Common Sense Show and all the media people that I've spoken to today, we are just in total grief with you. We're heartbroken at what's happened, and we would like to assist in any way that we can. We certainly aren't reporting these issues to glorify or sensationalize, and so many people in the mainstream media do that. That's not our intent here. I just want people to know the truth, and I think the victims deserve justice, and that's my motivation here. But I don't want the people to think that you're going to be forgotten, because this will haunt me for a very long time. And I'm speaking about my own reaction personally, because I have family, I have friends, I have community, and I've imagined how I would feel, and it's awful. And I can only imagine what you and your husband are going through. And as I said, Mr. Ward, I'm so sorry for what the losses that your community has had, and I hope that God will bring a healing. We will say a prayer on my show this Sunday night for the families, the survivors. I want to tell you that I really respect your bravery and your courage for coming on here and talking about this most difficult subject. And again, I want you to feel free to reach out to me with whatever you feel I need to know. You know, I'll be there to listen.
Well, the only reason I'm able to do it is because Joanne was a firm believer in false flag events, and she would have bent over backwards to make sure that the truth came out. And now, of course, she's possibly involved in one. Very, very potentially, that's what this could be. And that's the reason that I'm here. And that's, I battled and battled with whether to come out or not. And I'll be honest with you, I'm terrified for my family and myself just speaking out against the powers that be, and I just feel like that's what I have to do. I have to, because Joanne would have done it for me if the tables were turned. So thank you for your compassion.
Well, it's what we are supposed to do, and I want you to know that as the details come out and America familiarizes itself more and more with the loss, and the names and faces become more familiar to the country, there's going to be an outpouring that is even greater than what you've already experienced. And I'm so glad to hear you say that the people, through their faith, are strengthened by it. But these things should not be happening in America.
They sure shouldn't. No.
Well, I want to thank you for joining us. And again, please send my thanks to your husband for reaching out to me, and your courage for coming on, and also our condolences, our very, very deep condolences to your friends in the community.
Thank you, Dave. I'll pass it on, and thank you for all you're doing. We appreciate you bringing the truth out.
Thank you very much for joining us. Ladies and gentlemen, Vonda Smith, and this is probably the hardest interview I've ever done, and please say a prayer for these wonderful people.
These events that keep transpiring across the country are obviously performed by people who have no conscience, and they sit at the right hand of Satan. And I'd like to take a moment here and have everyone pray in their own way for the people and the restoration of their lives as much as possible, and pray for the souls of the departed. And take a moment of silence here. Well, this is really one of the things that I didn't sign on for when I thought I was fighting against corruption, and this goes with the territory. There's been more events that have transpired, and we're going to hit those, and I'm not going to be more specific than that, but we're going to put on our investigative caps, and you'll find out who we are in a few minutes. But I, again, just want to praise Vonda for having the courage. They've had some incidences since she's come on the show, and we're going to talk more about that a little bit later. One thing I want to make sure that everyone is aware of is that on the article that I wrote about this, and I included this interview, the GoFundMe page that was set up by Joanne Ward's aunt. And I have to tell you, be prepared. You go to the website and you see the article. I copied the GoFundMe page verbatim, and it has pictures of the children. It has a picture of Joanne. And I'm calling attention to it, though, because this family's life has changed in ways that are unimaginable. And although money can't bring back the lost ones, but it could help maybe ease the burden somewhat financially as they go forward. And I would ask that you'd go there and generously give. And I have the GoFundMe link right in the article on Sutherland Springs, Texas. And I believe it's still on the carousel. And I'll look that up again on the break and give you a more precise location. But it's going to be really easy to find. But I would really hope that all of you would, as much as you can, reach deep down as you could and help these people and keep them in your prayers, because that is the most powerful force on the face of the earth. You know, I remember when John Kennedy was killed, and I've read the historical accounts of the day, and people would say, how could this happen in America? And now I look at these kinds of events, the fires, the violence all across the country in so many different ways, and then culminating with this event a week ago today. We're asking the question now, will it ever stop? And I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but it's not going to stop until we make it stop. And we really have two ways we have to go. One can be, let's pick up the pitchforks and take care of the business that Jeff Sessions and the people who are supposed to be loyal to Trump who aren't, and do their job for them. Well, that'll just result in anarchy, chaos, and civil war. And this is what the George Soros organizations like Antifa, what they want. They want to see this. Or we can not give in, not obey, not comply. And I'm talking about the gun confiscation that's obviously going to happen somewhere down the road. And we also need to pray. And that's our best weapon. You know, Steve Quayle and I've talked about this on this show a lot. So has Doug Hagman and I. That we are involved in a spiritual warfare. And because it's a spiritual warfare, physical solutions aren't necessarily going to work. In fact, I think that they're probably doomed to failure. And I would encourage everybody to look inside your heart and ask yourself, what can you do on the spiritual plane? Because it's not 2 plus 2 equals 4. 2 plus 2 equals infinity when you invoke the power of God and Jesus Christ. And this is ultimately what we're charged with doing. God is there waiting for us to ask. All we have to do is commit, and He'll answer prayers. And if enough of us do it, He can change this country. I know a lot of people don't think that this country can be changed. And I would agree. On the surface, it's bleak. Right now we're talking about just surviving, just getting through, surviving the scourge that's coming. But I do believe if enough people would allow their hearts to catch fire for Jesus Christ, that we could change our country and the world. The last days don't have to be in our time. I know the signs are there, but also too, the book of Revelations tells us we don't know the hour, we don't know the day. So it's presumptuous to think that this is absolutely it, and it's a fait accompli, and give up and accept your fate. No, that's not how we're wired anyway. God gave us free will, and the free will to do what's right, and not go along with prevailing opinions. So I would hope that you would join me in praying for not only the healing of the community of Sutherland Springs, Texas, but you'd also pray for the restoration of this country, and that we would see fit to be able to elect godly men and women, not so many of the scoundrels that we have serving today in Washington. We will be back after the break in hour number 3. And like I said, I'm practicing discretion is the better part of valor. You'll find out why after the break.